I thank God for today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I like responses, you know, because then I know that you guys are alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so, so much. Hey, today we really, really thank for God. Thank God that this is the second time I'm actually speaking this year. Will you remember? Do you see that? It's amazing. I spoke on New Year's Day, and we have Michael Rosworthen, then Pastor Ben Davies, and I'm here again. And tomorrow we have, next week, my apologies. Tomorrow we're not having a church service. Everybody's working. Next week we have Pastor Matthew Guest to come and speak. He's a guest speaker, and he's called Guest, right? So that's amazing. He's a lovely friend that I've known for a while, and God has used him to build a massive church over several years, and he started a new ministry, and he'll be here tomorrow, next week. What am I rushing for tomorrow? There must be something exciting happening tomorrow. Amen. And he will come and bring the word of God to us. But today, God is going to speak to us. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Let's read it together, even as it comes on the screen. I'm reading from the New International Version. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is the whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in it. The Lord, who is remains forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. You are 10 times better reader than I am. But thank you so, so much. Now, today's theme is the God of hope. The God of hope. This psalm that we are going to look at is the first of five psalms called the Hallelujah Psalters, meaning the Hallelujah poems and hymns from the heart of God. And that is concluded in Psalm 150. So if you take 146, the next four chapters always start with praise the Lord. Literally meaning hallelujah. Literally meaning lift the name of God higher and higher. And to always end with the same. Now, sometimes people tell us that the Psalms were written by David. Indeed, he wrote about half of all the Psalms in the Bible, but not all of it. A lot of them, too, were written by other characters. And these five hallelujah Psalms were actually written by the prophets Zechariah and prophet Haggai. Did you know that before? Okay, you've learned something new, at least. It probably refers to the time that King Cyrus was ruling in Persia, and he, after 70 years, allowed the people of Israel to go home. The people of Israel were serving a 70-year discipline for acts of disobedience. You see, God does not overlook acts of disobedience. God does not overlook people who walk away from him and turn their backs on him. But God literally stand up for the righteous. Now, the question for me is, during this time that the Cyrus allowed them to go, he also blessed them and gave them a whole lot of presents and even wrote an edict, meaning he passed a law. It's just like a very important president or a very powerful president signing a document that this is law, you can't change it. And he signed the law that these Israelites should be helped, and they should be helped to rebuild their lives and to rebuild their temple. But then there were some people around who did not like it, and they made life difficult for them. I don't know about how you see life sometimes. The human being is a very complex creation. Sometimes he or she can be so, so happy, but other times it's full of excitement, it's full of joy, and everything seemed to have fallen in place in the right way. So they praise the Lord. So they are thankful. They have parties. They have all other things. And they enjoy doing that. Other times, life is not like that at all. Times that life is full of despair. Times that life is not as we want it to be. For those of us who have asked Jesus Christ to be our forgiver and leadership in our lives, for us, in times like this, we look to Jesus Christ and we turn our lives unto him and we ask him to take over. And he become our God of hope. Why are we saying this? We're saying that God becomes the God of hope because at times like this, our optimism comes from him. Our dreams and our hopes in lives comes from him. Anything that frustrates us and makes us bow down, we look up to God who is alive and who really can reach out to us and say, come, my daughter, come, my son, come and be on my side. I know that I'm God's property. I have no living father, I have no living mother. So who do I belong to? I belong to God. Well, my wife and kids may claim ownership of me. But I'm God's property. One of such persons was Moses. When he died, even his body was contested by the evil one because he obviously made some mistakes in life. But because he belonged to God, God took him. Did you understand that? He was God's property. Another guy that became God's property was Enoch in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 5, the Bible said he walked with God. And he was not. But God took him. So if you walk with God, then you belong to God. You're God's property. And one day God will take you. For that reason, when you are here on this earth, your hope is in God. Whether you are happy or whether you're walking in despair, your hope is in God. Hallelujah. For that reason, in God alone, I put my trust. So I will say this. Praise the Lord. You brought it back to me. So we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. You see, the people of God had come out of captivity, as I said earlier, and alluded to it. But the heavens opened for them. And the king one day said, go home. Imagine having a prisoner in your cells, or you are a prisoner in a cell, and one day, the jailer opens the door and says, go home. Isn't that exciting? And that is exactly what happens. The heavens opened for them and the king said, go home. You are free to go back to your homeland. You are free to go and rebuild your life. And today, the psalmist is saying that, praise the Lord. He said, hallelujah. This doesn't happen, but it is happening because my God is on my side. And God one day will open up a door for me. And because God is opening up a door for me, I will say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may not feel that way. Say, oh, no, it doesn't feel like me. I feel like I'm in prison right now. I just want to encourage you to know that God will one day open the door for you and say, go home and rebuild your life. Hallelujah. God is in that place to help us. He is in that place to help us. And that is the way God works. When the heavens open, our lives are going to be rebuilt. Some may not be happy, but never mind them. And in this situation for the Israelites, they actually convinced Cyrus, for Cyrus to withdraw the favor that he's actually put upon the people of God. And from that point, they were really meeting it hard. From that point, it was very difficult for them. But suddenly, these people who believe in God felt abandoned, as it were, by God. Do you sometimes get into a situation like this that you've been praying and you are a Christian and you come to church and you praise God and you give you an offering and you serve in the church and you come on time and you pray and you do everything that you do, but at the end of the day, things are not going the way it's supposed to go. Is that you? Sometimes I feel it's me. Or I'm just the only person who feels that way sometimes. It is you. It is me sometimes. But then somehow along the line, our God is going to open up. Simply because he's not going to withdraw from you. Even though suddenly he feels that every door has been closed to you, God is going to open the door for you. So the psalmist looked at it and said, praise the Lord, my soul. Everything that is in me, in spite of how I feel, in spite of where I am, in spite of the fact that the door seemed to have been shut and it cannot open, I will still praise the Lord. I will still say hallelujah to the Lord. I will still reach out to him and I say, God, you are amazing. You are wonderful. You are above all things. You are above my problems. You are above my despair. You are above all my shortcomings. You are above everything that is holding me back. Imagine a people of God, a door has been opened to them. They go home, rebuilding their life, and suddenly it stopped. It's just like you've just got a beautiful, wonderful job. And you are so excited and you're getting big money. You're not even thinking. You're making all your plans. And suddenly something cut it off. Something like this can be very, very painful. But these two prophets at the time, they look at the people who had bowed at the time and they look at them and they say, you know what? Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the God of hope. For if we put our trust in him, regardless, he's going to do something for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, all my soul. They look at it and say, it is you, O Lord, we look forward to. You are our expectation. You are our dreams. You are our possibilities. You are my desire and my wish. I hope in you, so I will not despair. Hallelujah. See, the God of hope is someone that we look up to. And we say, God, you know what? In spite of where I am, I'm looking forward to you. Because you are my dreams. You are my possibilities. You are limitless. I may feel limited at this moment, but I know my God is not limited. And therefore, I will hope in you. I will desire in you. I will praise the Lord. Verse 2 said, I'll praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. The person was expressing the true feeling of his heart, overpowered with a sense of goodness, of gratitude to the goodness of God. In spite of that, sometimes he said, praise God in all situations. I'm thinking, really? I don't feel like I want to praise God. But you know what? These people were in a situation like that. They probably didn't feel like praising God. But psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm, they said, we will praise God to begin. We will praise God to end. We will praise the Lord with our whole being, even my soul. That means my mind, however, whatever is going through my mind, whatever emotional turmoil that I'm going through, whatever emotional excitement I'm going through, I am going to hope in this God. I'm going to look up to this God. I'm going to put my dreams in him. I'm going to put my wishes in him. I'm going to say my desires in you. I'm going to say, God, you are able to turn the situation around because you are able to make it new. Hallelujah. I'll praise the Lord with all my being. I'll sing praises to the God as long as I live. While I have any being in me, while there's any life in me, my continued existence, whether I'm making progress in life or not, my whole being, indeed my eternal existence, is expressed in you, O God. Hallelujah. And this psalm appeals to my heart so much. Sometimes people think, I don't have problems. I have plenty. And I have a lot of victories too. But one thing I've learned is to put my hope in God. To put my hope in God. You see, hoping in God doesn't mean that you are useless. It doesn't mean that you are not intelligent. It doesn't mean that you are a loser. Hoping, putting your faith in God means that you are actually putting your faith in something bigger than you. Something bigger than the things in front of you. Something bigger than anything that is opposing you. Something bigger than every victory that you've ever had. That means you are putting your hope in something supernatural, something extraordinary, something which is beyond human comprehension. That is exactly why we want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save you. The hope that one can find in God cannot be found in man. I'm someone who trusts people a lot. And sometimes even when they disappoint me, when it is in my face, I still continue to trust them until we get to a point that I think, Gideon, wake up. If you follow these people, you're going to die one day for no reason. And then I cut it off. But amazingly, God does not cut it off. In spite of how many times that I will disappoint him, in spite of how many times that I will let him down, in spite of how many times that you will, he will not cut it off. And he will still be there. So for that reason, do not put your trust in princes. Do not put your trust in mortal man who cannot save you. They cannot get you out of trouble. Sometimes they can help you as much as they can. Sometimes even lawyers can help you as much as they can. They love their money. They cannot get you out of everything. I mean, I love lawyers too because they have a part to play in life. Sometimes pastors can do all that they could, but they cannot save you. Only God can save you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, hope in God is a decision we make. You see, when we say hope in God, you are not just sitting down idle. It's a decision that you make, that you want to put your trust in the Lord. It's a decision that you make. Either to go on to the road of putting your trust in man or making that decision to put your hope in God. You make the decision. Are you going to trust that man to give you all the solutions about life? Are you going to trust your job? Are you going to trust your money? Are you going to trust your children? Have your hope in God. Because the person that you trust, you only have to upset them and they take you out of their will. I know people who have done that so many times. They change it when you mess about with them. So children, be nice to your parents, right? I just want to praise God for today and for this psalm that is written for us. Man is really helpless to give you hope. But God is able to help you. Yes, I will find my hope in God. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. You see, you can put your hope in the man, but when the person dies, your plans have come to nothing. But we thank God that our God is eternal. He never dies. He's always alive. He is always existence. He is always there for you. And therefore, you can trust this God and put your hope in him. Because there's no end to our God. Hallelujah. There's no end to our God. I've seen quite a number of people, some even my friends, whose either mother or father died or a close relative died, and it's messed their plans up for good. Some have lost it mentally. I know faces and names. They are not strangers. People close to me that I know. I know some who are frustrated and mess about in many ways because they put their hope in man, meaning human being. And that human being is now no more. There is finality to everything, my brothers and sisters. And one day man will give in to the spirit of death. And all that we have achieved, all that we have acquired and fought for, will come to nothing because we can't take it away with us. Yes or no? We can't take it away with us. You see, our ancestors, or even sometimes now, you see, to give us some comfort when somebody dies, we try to pile their coffin with all the beautiful things inside, thinking that they are going to the next world with it. My brothers and sisters, it will stay in the ground and rot. It's not going anywhere. If you have any gold piece that you think your mother or sister likes, and they are dead, you keep it and use it for yourself. Don't put it in the coffin. It will not go nowhere. So, I mean, I'm telling you the fact. You know why Caribbeans, I mean, go to the cemetery and they make sure that they cover the food, I mean, they cover the tomb before they go home? Have you thought about it in England? See, some of you are very young, but those who are old knows that. Maybe let me not digress. Come and ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you why we cover the tomb and make sure that we cover it before we leave and go home. You can only guess it. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God. What can God do for people who hope in him? What can God do for them? Hope springs from hopelessness. When you're at a point that you just can't see the trees from the woods, when you're at a point that all your plans seem to be all messy, when you're at a point that you don't seem to know which way to turn, whether you turn to the left or whether you turn to the right, you've got to get to hope in God so that you can hear a voice behind you that will tell you, this is the way. Walk in it. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the way. Walk in it. And that is exactly what our God does. At a point of hopelessness, spring hope in God. Jacob was a man who cheated, who was a grabber, who would take things by force, whether it's his or not. He supplanted. That means he took the position of his brother, older brother, older twin, Esau, by trickery. And subsequently lived in fear for his life because his brother wanted to kill him. There was a sense of hopelessness in Jacob's life as he walked upon the face of the earth. Even when he was going east to pick up his wife, he was still scared, wondering, looking behind him, who is coming? Who is coming to arrest him? Yet he met an angel, and God spoke to him, and God changed him, and he became the Prince of God. You see, that is what God can do. God can do to the person that you'll be walking without God. You'll be walking without fear because of your behavior, because of the things that you have done. You are walking in fear because of the mistakes that you might have done in life. You are walking in fear because of the anxiety in life, because of people who might hate you unnecessarily. You are walking in fear because you are not sure what tomorrow will bring. It says, blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob. Happy are you. You most favored. You most esteemed. God is willing to look at you even with your mistakes, with your shortcomings, in your vulnerabilities. And God says that hope in this God. Hope in this God. Desire in this God. Talk to this God. Just imagine this God. And stretch forth your hand and say, God, oh God, you are my help. And when you call unto this God, oh God, you are my help, he shows up for you. He shows up for you. Sometimes you don't need big prayers to be able to get God to come on your side. In your vulnerability, you acknowledge where you are and say, God, I need your help. God, help me. God, help me. I don't know how many times I pray prayers like that. Most of the time, I pray prayers. I say, God, you know what? I feel vulnerable. God, help me. You see, some pastors make you feel that they are above everything. Some of them are very weak, you know. This is not what we are saying. I'm human. And therefore, my prayers, God, oh God, you are my help. You are my help. And when I put my trust in you, when I hope in you, then I know the blessings are mine. I know you come on my side. For you are the maker of the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Amen. The Lord who remains faithful forever. Psalm 147, verse 8 and 9 reads, he covers the sky with the clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call him. Hallelujah. You see, he's the maker of the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything is in it. Even the young ravens, when they call him. Ravens are very tiny little birds. You know that? Oh, you don't even know what ravens look like. I beg you, when you go home, go on the internet and type raven and say, an image of a bird called raven. And you see it. Very tiny birds. They fly so fast around. And these, God said, even when they call, he hears them. And if God hears the ravens and provide grass for the cattle, and he pour rains upon the face of this earth, and he makes sure that he supplies and the cloud covers us when the sun is too hot, then this God will surely cater for you. For that reason, we hope in him. Yes, this same God will look after you because he is the God of hope. Verse 7 says that he upholds the cause of the oppressed and give food to the hungry. And the Lord set prisoners free. Now, I mean, between verse 7 and verse 9, I want you to look at a few things that God does in there. He says he upholds the cause of the oppressed. Two, he gives food to the hungry. Three, he sets the prisoners free. Four, he gives sight to the blind. Verse 8, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner. The Lord sustains the fatherless, the widow, and frustrates the wicked. Now think about a God like this. Will you not hope in him? I will hope in a God like this. He will uphold the cause of the oppressed. Sometimes we feel very oppressed, don't we? Sometimes you feel very pressured. Sometimes you feel very restless. Sometimes you feel very worried. I do sometimes. And when you feel that way, the Bible said he will uphold the cause of the oppressed. God sees and God hears and God feels your heart. God sees your soul. He sees the emotional, roller coaster that you are going through. And he says, I feel it. You're not alone. I feel it. And I feel your cause. And I'll give food to the hungry. That's what God is saying. I will give food to the hungry. And when God said he's going to give food to the hungry, it was not going to be like the time of the wilderness that he opened the heavens and dropped some manna. He will use people like you and me to feed the hungry. And I thank God for this church, for the heart of generosity that you guys have, that you love to feed the poor. Some of you, out of your own pocket, you just bring food to feed those who don't have much. Christmas comes and you make life beautiful for people who cannot afford by giving them hampers, good food to eat. Almost Sunday after Sunday, either through your standing order, through your bank giving, or through whatever means, or the envelope system, you are giving to support the cause. When we talk about this church, we're talking about this community. God will use you to give food to the hungry. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God will use you. So when we talk about God gives food to the hungry, ask yourself, where am I with this? Can I afford to give food to the hungry? Please think about that very seriously in this church. Let's press on. Our God set the prisoners free. He will ensure justice will prevail in your case someday, even if you feel oppressed today. You see, some of us, we feel we are going through some kind of injustice that we don't deserve to be where we are. How come somebody got it so easy and you don't get it so easy? How come your father was fighting the last war and you can't even stay in this country? How come somebody never even fought and the person can just walk into this country? You feel injustice, isn't it? How come that you've worked so hard and you think you are more qualified than the person sitting next to you and the person get the promotion and you don't get it? That is injustice, right? So how come somebody that is, they see you prospering and somehow they begin to diss you and then make sure that they want to see you fall and life becomes very difficult for you? That's injustice, isn't it? Absolutely. How come somebody prays and the person get healed and you've been praying all these years and your sickness is still there? That's injustice, isn't it? I know it is. So we have to go to God and say, God, you know what? In you we hope. In you we hope. You are a God of hope. You will ensure justice will prevail in my case someday, even though I feel depressed or oppressed today. God provides through his people, the church. We must help those who have not. Life can sometimes confine you to the narrow space, but God is the one who can set you free. Even in the confined place of prison, God can set you free. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes life, you're free, right? But you live in prison. Life, I mean, crushes you that you feel so hemmed in. You feel you can't stretch yourself. You feel you can't move away. You feel you can't do anything. You can't afford the things that you want to. And even not the luxuries, but the necessities you are struggling with. You feel very confined. You want to get a house that you can't buy. You're praying to God and you're working so hard and you want to get the necessities of life that you want, but for some reason it's not working for you because sometimes some debt is trying to eat your money like some cockroaches. Cockroaches eat things, right? Or maybe locusts is better. Locusts eat. They eat things. The cockroaches, they smell. I don't know their use. Honestly, I don't know why we have cockroaches, but I'm sure God knows. But whatever we say, my brothers and sisters, we are saying here is that when life confines you and squeezes you, our hope is in God. Hallelujah. Our hope is in God. So the people who put pen and paper to write this particular psalm, these prophets could actually understand God and know that the only person in creation who can actually do these things, his name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. His name is God. And for that reason, they will put their trust in him. The Lord gives sight to the blind. You see, so people seeing did not happen in the New Testament, you know. They wrote long time ago. When they wrote the psalm, it's at least 470 years before the New Testament came into being. At least 470 years before the New Testament came into being, when these prophets wrote this, that the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts those who are bowed. The Lord loves the righteous. Who are those who are bowed? You see, those who are bowed are people who are going through depression. And sometimes depression makes you bowed. When you are depressed, all around you, you don't respond properly. You lose your confidence. You don't relate properly. You are isolated. And people even think you've lost it. People think, oh no, this person, if I associate with, I'll be depressed too. People even walk away from you. Those who are bowed. The Bible said, Lord, lift those who are bowed. And this God I want to put my hope in. This God I want to put my hope in. There are times that I feel so defeated in life. And I feel so bowed in my life. I'm just telling you who I am. And when I'm at this point, I just look up and I say, God, in you I put my trust. God, in you I put my trust. You are the God of hope. I will hope in you. I hope in you. At those points, Psalm 42 verse 5 said, Why my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my Lord. Those days that you feel so downcast, when emotionally you are totally, totally defeated, when everybody seems to be walking away from you and doesn't want to know your story, you speak to yourself, my soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? I'll put my trust in this God, yet I'll hope in him. Psalm 47 verse 3 says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord watches over the foreigner, verse 8 and 9. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord watches over the foreigner. You see, I'm not here talking about race or creed or tribe. But I want you to know that the Lord watches over the foreigner. The Lord loves the foreigner. Some of us, we may hate the foreigner. Maybe the foreigner is not somebody from another nation or another race or another color. It's somebody we just don't like. That person does not behave like us. That person does not speak like us. That person doesn't wear the same clothes like us. That person is not the same class like us. That person is not educated as much as us. And therefore, that person we turn away from. That person is a foreigner to us. The Lord is interested. He sustains the fatherless. You see, the God of hope watches over the strangers. He will sustain the fatherless. Those single parents and fathers who have a name but do not play the role of a father. If you have one like this, you are fatherless. I am fatherless. My parents are dead. And so is my wife, and so is Alice, and so many people around here. God sustains the fatherless. Today, this message is for you to know that God is your Father. He is our Father in heaven. He is our Father in heaven, so we will praise him. He is our Father in heaven, so we say hallelujah to your name. And in spite of the Father, we have no Father to role model for us, to provide for us. You are our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Some of us, we never liked our Father because they were never there for us. You're right. They refused to play the part of a father. What father is that? But God is our Father. He's the God of hope. I remember when I was a very young Christian, I was quite heady, too religious. When I see somebody who is from a home of a single parent, I'm thinking, why didn't the mother got married? And I kind of sneer in my snobbish way at people like that. How ignorant I was. God sustains the fatherless. And God sustains the widow. There are some here who are widows. The pain of losing a loved one is deep. It doesn't heal overnight, you know. No amount of Christian words and well wishes will heal the pain of losing a loved one. But God sustains the widows. They will never go hungry. Sometimes they will meet it hard, but God will be there for them. For that reason, God said, your hope must be in God. Your hope must be in this God. In Him, I hope. Because He's the God of hope. As long as there is God, I have hope. God is my hope. God is your hope. You will not find hope in man. Neither will I. As your pastor, it is my prayer that I will live in a way that glorifies God and with credibility that you will respect me. But I am human too. You should not put your trust in me, but you should put your hope in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There might be some of you who are widowed right now. Or one day you will be. But it is God who will sustain you. He is our God. Now, Jesus is the hope of this world. I'm bringing this message to an end. I want you to know Jesus is the hope for this world. It is for the hope that Christ came. Being a Christian does not wipe away all your problems, all your diseases, all your anxieties, or solve all your challenges, or even make you smile all the time. But what you have, being a Christ follower, is hope, which is your anchor for life. Hallelujah. See, hope is your anchor for life. Hoping in God, desiring in God, looking up to Him, and not to man. He is your hope. In God. Sometimes some will deceive you to say that become a Christian and everything will be hunky-dory. My brothers and sisters have been a Christian for more than 40 years and everything is never hunky-dory for me. Let the truth be told. The word of God says, in God we hope. And God is our anchor for life. So the psalmist will end this and say, the Lord reigns forever. Your God, oh, you who dwell in the presence of God, or Zion for that matter, for all generations, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is the first of the hallelujah psalms. Hallelujah in the sense that when it is going good for you, you praise God for that. But somehow along the line, things can't stop. And you have to learn to hope in God. It is your hope in God that will sustain you. And before I step out of this platform, maybe you are here and you don't even know this God that we are talking about. You don't know Him personally. You're not engaging with Him. You don't even know Him to talk to Him. Today I want to give you that opportunity that you can also, like me, and say, God, you know what? I will hope in you. There's one prophet called Habakkuk. In the third chapter, he wrote something and he said, you know what? Even though sometimes the fig tree will not blossom, even the grass will not give its feed and the cow will not give its milk, yet will I say hallelujah. Yet will I praise the Lord, for He's in Him that I hope. He's the God of my salvation. He's the one who saves me and He will make my feet like a hind feet. That means He will show me where to plant my feet even in spite of this. So today, if you're here and you don't know this Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's the anchor for life. Shall we bow our heads right now? I want to give you this opportunity one more time. As we've read, death is inevitable for everybody. I know I will die one day. When? I don't know. You will. Everything that I've ever amassed in this world, I will leave it behind. Do you know this Jesus? If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him as your forgiven leader, if today you want to ask for his forgiveness for the fact that you've walked away from him and you don't know him up close and personal, you walk upon the face of this earth chasing everything that comes but never having. Or maybe you've planned your future gloriously, but do you know whether you will live even to eat it? If you don't know this Jesus, I want you to raise up your hand and I'll pray for you wherever you are. I'm not going to ask you to come in front, but I just want to pray for you. If you don't know this Jesus, please raise up your hand. We want to give you this opportunity to connect with Jesus Christ powerfully. Who is that man? Who is that woman who want to put his or her hope in God? If you're that person, just raise up your hand. You may be a boy or a girl. God does not discriminate your age. Hallelujah. I would thank God for that. But if you haven't, and you haven't raised up your hand, please, I beg you, pray to this God and ask for his forgiveness and leadership of Jesus over your life. Now I'm going to pray for another group of people. Maybe you are that guy who has become a Christian. You've walked with God, but now you know that your walk with God is very thin. The things in your life are more important to you. I'm not talking about coming to church. Are more important to you than your relationship with God. You don't connect with God the way you have to. You wake up in the morning, you can't hope in God. The psalmist started by praising God and ending by praising God. That is not you. But he wants that to be you. If you are that person, and to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ, to reaffirm your commitment to him, and to actually make the time for God in your life and for him to come closer to you, I want you also to raise up your hand and I'll pray for you. Who is that man? Who is that woman? Today I just want to plead with you. You can't fool God. You can't fool me. That is all right. Not many people fool me though. But then I just want you to know that God today wants to bring you closer to himself. If it is you, just raise up your hand and I'll pray for you. Then I'll go and sit down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't be ashamed, my brother and sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for these sons and daughters who, out of the comfort of their heart and the urgency of their spirit, Father God, they've raised up their hand to you. Father, this hand is raised to you, Holy God, the God of hope. Father God, I pray, oh God, their desire is to renew their relationship with you. And Father God, to renew, Father God, their fellowship with you. Today, even as we are preparing for communion, let it be a defining moment for them. Father God, let it be a time that God, you will be close to them and transform their lives and renew their prayer life and renew their time that they will spend with you, reading your word and living by it. Father, I pray that their hope will be in you. Lord, I pray that you watch over them and surround them with your angels. Father God, bind them with your precious blood, that they will not fall into any pit that enemy digs for them. But God, they will walk as victorious people in the name of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is their hope and their anchor. For that reason, I say thank you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.